It's the Rick Emerson Show. The star of the program is away today and will be tomorrow. He's in San Diego, but we are here trying to hold down the fort and play the best of shows. But first, let's see what's happening in the world of news today, shall we? There's quite a bit. First of all, search teams have found those three missing climbers on Mount Hood in whiteout conditions. Took 30 search people, apparently. There were three of them missing. And they broke away from the rest of the climbers when two men and one woman fell off a 150-foot ledge.
Virtually a whiteout conditions, heavy snowfall, severe wind. It's almost blowing vertically. The cold.
So that was that.
So are they alive?
Yeah, they're alive and they're fine. And let's see, I don't have the dog's condition. They were huddled with a dog. So we'll find out about that later.
Did they go missing last night? Is that the deal? Or
they've been missing all weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're fine. These people come into town, they cause all kinds of problems for us. In the meantime, we do have some visitors here we enjoy. The sister of Sarah X. Dillon, Heather X. Dillon, is with us.
Heather X. Dillon. Say hi, Heather. Hello.
I understand that you've had plenty of excitement with JetBlue Airlines. Is that not so?
Oh, yes. It's been quite exciting trying to get over here.
So they haven't even refunded any of your money?
Well, they haven't been able to answer their phones yet. It's been pretty busy since they've screwed up everything the entire weekend. So
does that mean we get to have you in Portland for longer than expected?
I hope so. Who knows?
They canceled 139 flights.
According to the schedule that we're seeing today, there are no cancellations out of Orlando International. I would advise anyone who's planning to take a flight, certainly to check with the airline.
You think?
Yeah, seriously.
If you can find them.
Yeah, and they'll make you wait for 5 hours before telling you if it's canceled or not.
Or 11 on the tarmac.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you got here, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I suppose you're out for a night on the town with Scotty J and friends?
Oh, no, yes. I'm keeping her far away from Scotty J after Scotty J's behavior on Friday night.
Oh, my.
We're gonna
ungentlemanly? Oh, we can't talk to
him. Great behavior.
Okay, that's why you got forcibly removed from Dante three times.
No, I didn't get forcibly removed. The guy just wouldn't let me back in.
Oh, they're going to
be stories. Well, access wasn't
I walked out on my own.
All right. Well, at least he could still walk.
Barely.
Well, let's talk about the other important story. Britney Spears parading around Hollywood with a platinum blonde wig looking like Marilyn Monroe. It comes after she shaved her head completely bald and added a couple of tats to the back of her neck. There are conflicting reports why she decided to do that. Then we have the woman who witnessed Britney Spears' head-shaving incident is speaking out. Esther Tognazzi says she was getting ready to close her salon Friday night when Spears and two bodyguards entered. She reportedly sat down and asked the store owner to shave her head. At first, the lady resisted, telling the pop singer that women have these hormonal things, and she regretted it in the morning. So Spears grabbed a sideburn trimmer and began buzzing her locks. Well, the salon owner said she continued to try to talk her out of it, but Spears shaved her head and walked out of the salon. One of her bodyguards handed the woman $50 for a $45 haircut. Locks of Britney's hair have made it to eBay. Yeah. A little while later, Britney was a walk-in client at a tattoo parlor where fans were shocked at the singer's new look. People magazine says then Britney checked into she had checked into Caribbean Rehab Facility last week, then checked herself out. So nobody's responding to this story.
Well, perhaps this is her way of making a clean-shaven new start.
No, that could be Scotty.
Oh, good God, Scotty. No, so she shaved her head and then immediately went over to the tattoo parlor and got tattoos on her head?
That's correct. On her neck.
On her neck?
Yes, two tats. Meanwhile, another Marilyn Monroe wannabe has finally been embalmed, according to South Florida Sun Sentinel. A three-hour procedure occurred Saturday for Anna Nicole. The embalmers are CRISPR cameras and cell phones. Her remains were bagged up and sealed and placed in a locked cage. That cage has been sealed and placed in a locked freezer under police guard. Apparently she's in pretty good shape. And, let's see, she was in the early stages of deterioration.
Now, was that Anna, or are you talking about somebody else there?
No, but there's only one Anna Nicole Smith that I know.
Yeah, there's only one.
Well, you said a wannabe or something.
She
like
is
that.
A wannabe.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Marilyn Monroe wannabe.
Yeah.
I see.
There seems to be a lot of those. So you think, Tim, you were saying you think that Britney Spears is going to be the next to go?
Or you were saying Lindsay Lohan.
Well, since she just finished rehab yesterday, and then she was already seen at a club last night, which I think she's just going to have some horrible bender and relapse.
Good for her. Well, the immigration minister of the Bahamas has resigned following accusations he fast-tracked Anna Nicole's application for residency. Calling the reports surrounding his involvement with a late model/actress lies, Shane Gibson said he was stepping down from his post for the well-being of his family. So that's that. Oh, did you know it's President's Day? Yes, indeed it is. The president went to Mount Vernon, the home of the nation's first president, George Washington.
We've been celebrating this holiday for more than two centuries. And this morning we continue this tradition by honoring the man who was our first president, the father of our country, and a champion of liberty.
Yes, he's an example for all Americans to follow.
Children are taught to revere his name, and leaders to look to him for strength in uncertain times. George Washington's long struggle for freedom has also inspired a generation of Americans to stand for freedom in their own time.
All right, everyone feel better than they did before hearing that?
I'm inspired.
All right. Well, that is it. We're going to be back in just a little bit with more interesting news, including the Oregon woman who won two cars from two casinos.
Ooh.
And we'll speak more to Heather X. Dillon, sir.
I'll get it.
As the best of the Rick Emerson Show continues on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Emerson Radio Program.
Yeah, you wish.
503-733-2970. In mere moments, Tim Riley joins us for the Ministry of Truth. Hey, look, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Bam! About that speech last night.
What speech? Oh, yeah. Is this a Bush watch?
I believe it is, yes.
Oh, God.
Kill me!
Here's your Bush watch for,
President, kind of in charge. You've got the whole understanding. That's my Bush. Life is hard. That's a pot of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that say? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's on my honor.
So, some people sat through the whole speech, others were bored, some in between.
Where were you?
Somewhere in between those two.
I
get tired of this. Stand, sit. It felt like being in church.
You know,
applaud, don't applaud.
Can I just tell you, I kind of lied to Lisa a little bit. I lied to Lisa Goddard just a little bit. Let's never tell her I said this.
You try to appear more intellectual than perhaps you are.
Well, she knows that. She cracked that nut a long time ago. I'm just saying that I did watch part of it, but then eventually I was just, and then I listened to part of it on the radio, then I watched part of it on TV, and then I'm just like, oh, God, I hate this. And so what I did is I waited until this morning, and someone, God bless them, God bless the internet, someone had put up a version on YouTube with all of the applause removed.
Right.
That was
as it should be.
And it cut it down to like 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was gold. I was able to watch the whole thing in like during 1.5 cups of coffee. So I watched the whole thing later with all the applause removed, and it was I didn't suffer for my art.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nebraska Republican Chuck Hagel, a Vietnam veteran, said the Bush administration never had a coherent strategy for Iraq.
That's crazy.
There is no plan. There is no strategy. This is a ping pong game with American lives.
Sounds like somebody needs a little re-education.
Let's paint a bleak picture of the broader Middle East, Mr. Hagel.
It is far more dangerous than we've ever seen. We have totally destroyed our standing and reputation and influence in the Middle East by what we're doing. And the more we sink down into this bog, the harder it is to get out of, the more enemies we make.
I won't spill any more paint in the garage. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Let's bring out another Midwest Republican. This is Senator Dick Lugar. He's skeptical about the new Iraq strategy.
It is unclear to me how passing a non-binding resolution that the president has already said he will ignore will contribute to any improvement or modification of our Iraq policy.
Drinky poo before work.
Yes. Meanwhile, Senator Burton Moore says he thinks the president made a good cause for Congress, and the American people have lots of patience when it comes to Iraq.
It is urban warfare at its finest and its worst, if you will, and I think that's where the first focus will be, is to secure Baghdad, and you do that by taking down the terrorists that are causing trouble.
Yes, the general says it'll take time to win the war.
As President Bush said, I think he made a very good case for the Congress and the American people.
Oh, that's an edit. There was an edit right there. I wonder what they took out. You can hear it.
As President Bush said, I think he made a very good case for the Congress and the American people to have patience in this war.
That's okay. It doesn't matter to me. I no longer know what he was trying to say there.
Time for a little Joe Mantum.
Oh, fantastic.
Mr. Lieberman says, with a new general at the helm to command our forces, he wants to give the surge a big chance.
How Iraq ends will have a big effect on the security of the American people for decades to come. And so long as we can still win, which I believe we can, then we've got to do everything we can to make that possible.
All right, I'm just making notes for when Scotty comes in here.
Yes. Mr. Lieberman says we will win the war in Iraq.
This plan is one General Petraeus told us is different than anything we've done before in Iraq, and it can, and he believes, will work.
What is it that we're doing different?
We're going door to door handing out See's candy.
So in the hearts and minds.
We're
going
to be selling copies of Grit.
Look at the happy savages.
Would you like a shiny bead? We should offer them a truckload of shiny beads for their country. Just see what they say. Who knows? They might surprise us. Let's see here. Scotty, Scotty's typing on the screen. I'm livid. People are ridiculous. That's red, R-E-D. People are ridiculous. He is livid. And then he doesn't want us to leave. We don't. So I swear to God, I don't want them to call us woozies. WOOSIES, woozies.
Woozies?
Woozies.
Oh,
like,
woozies.
Is that like a cute name for number two, Scotty? Is that what had to go a woozy? All right, I don't know. A wussy. Is that what that's supposed to be? Oh, okay.
Who doesn't he want to call us wussies?
Scotty? Who isn't supposed to call us a woozy, wussy? Who are these people that would be doing it? Do they have your own
enemy?
Do they
want us to win the war because he lives in fear that the Iraqi people are going to call us wussies.
Are they going to text you? Is that the thing? You're going to pick it up?
Can't handle being called names by Iraqis.
There'll be going to be a knock at your door and you'll open it and there'll just be some flaming poo and a note saying woozy. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Arizona Senator John McCain didn't make any comments about the Iraq part. Instead, he commented on nuclear power that is a vital component of America's future.
I think it's a good beginning. I would have liked to have heard him mention that we need to really make a push on nuclear power, both for the greenhouse gas issue, but also to help us become independent.
I forgot to mention this to Lisa Goddard last night. That was another thing that George Bush did.
Oh, the independent on the foreign fuel thing.
But you'll notice
that never happened.
You'll notice that he didn't say we need to become that we have a dependency on oil. He said we have a dependency on foreign oil. Apparently it's not oil in general. Apparently it's only the foreign kind. Apparently American oil is some kind of methadone that we can just jump off of jumping off a train. Apparently foreign oil is the only kind that we're hooked on there. So and then he followed it up like 5 seconds later with the phrase clean coal. So that's like worth 4 points in the drinking game.
Barack Obama said he believes the nation has given the president over 3 years to come up with a strategy in the war-torn country.
At a certain point, I think people start believing that a military solution is not going to bring about a stable Iraq.
Am I alone here in thinking that Barack Obama is going to win something in the next election simply because of the power of his voice? And I don't mean the power of his ideas. I mean what he's talking about.
He's a splendid orator.
I'm just simply talking about what Henry Rollins would call the warm yet crisp timbre of his voice. I mean,
at a certain point, I think people start believing that a military solution is not going to bring about a stable Iraq.
He has. It's not distractingly deep, but it does have a lot of timbre to it. He has the voice of a guy who spent a long time as a public figure, someone who spent a long time. So what did he do before he did this?
I don't know. He sounds like a supermarket manager. He gets up on the PA saying that there are fresh bananas.
At a certain point, people is believing that a military solution is not going to bring about
and a sale on tangerines.
A stable Iraq.
And plus, if your license plate number is 563-222, your lights are on. Thank you very much.
At a certain point, I think people...
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Then we have Republican California Congressman and 2008 presidential candidate Duncan Hunter. Anybody know who he is?
Hunter.
He's running for president.
I don't know.
Well, he said Congress should give the president the chance.
I'm sorry, who?
Duncan Hunter. He wants to be your president.
Good for him. Who is he?
He's from California.
What does he do there?
He's a congressman.
Okay.
I think it's in our interest to have...
You're not going
to
win.
I think it's in our interest to have a country there that's not an enemy of the United States, is free, will not be a state sponsor of terrorism in the future.
Okay. Well, there you go. Thanks,
the Bush boy.
Duncan. Thanks, Duncan.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my book.
Here's some right.
And now it's time for me to take the fun out of the election for this story.
Is this to the person who's not running?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't want to know. All right, fine. I'm bracing myself.
He plans to announce it today that he will not seek the 2008 presidential race and instead remain in Congress and seek re-election to the Senate next year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
John Kerry. Has changed his plans dramatically from the fallout of the election. He botched joke about the election, the education levels of U.S. troops. The harsh reaction to that incident for many Democrats, as well as Republicans, and those even living in Massachusetts, displayed to carry the extreme skepticism.
I'm sorry.
Within his own party over whether he should mount another run.
No, he should not.
The big disappointment for me was when he lost last time.
That's what I'm saying is I don't even know. I don't even know how I feel about that, because it's like he wasn't going to win this time either, mm-hmm. but at least he would have been there as to give him some sort of amusement. Like, it was a little comedy value from him, at least. Now we're not even going to have that.
No.
You know what I mean? And he's independently wealthy. It's not like he's going to go in debt to do it. What else is he doing with his money? So, I don't know. You're from that part of the country. Do people love him there? I mean, I know he's been elected and so forth, but I mean, people
automatically vote for Democrats there anyway.
it's just a cultural... The culturally default setting.
Right, because all Catholics there are Democrats. In Massachusetts, all Catholic being mostly Irish.
Right.
So it's not a problem.
Ah, too bad. And you know, the great thing about him running would have been to see the inevitable deconstruction and meltdown of that nutcase wife of his.
Oh, she's crazy.
She, well, you know, Jules, you never heard from her again. I mean, I guess why would you?
She needs to be in the daytime talk show.
Oh, man, I'd give her... Hello, Teresa Hines-Carey. If you would like a show on this station at a day and time of your choosing, I don't care what you talk about, I don't care what you do, it doesn't matter. If you would like to have a radio talk program, you get in touch with Rick Emerson, and he'll give you whatever it is you need to make that happen, because you are insane and drunk-sounding most of the time, and therefore fantastic. And the great thing about Teresa Hines-Carey, I don't know much about her. Yeah, I don't know what kind of person she is. But she did... Remember we having that... I can't believe I'm about to compare these two people. Remember we having that discussion about Rebecca Webb at Kink?
I want to be involved. You may have your own one-sided conversation about our coworkers. I'll just sit back here and relax and listen.
I wasn't saying anything about Rebecca Webb. I'm certainly not comparing her to Teresa Hines-Carey in any sort of negative way. Because...
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. Nothing. I have the,
relaxing, soothing.
This ought to be a
telegram.
Instead of like a buzzer that tells me when I've started to go astray, this ought to be the thing that comes on, so it just sort of gently moves us back onto track.
You're totally right. We should completely put our machine here.
Because otherwise I'm just going to want to play it all the time.
It makes everyone feel so good.
This is exactly what they do, though, when they change the format of a radio station. They just play something like this over and over again for like 4.5 weeks, which is called stunting.
Is this week number one?
Well, day's not over yet. I guess there's always time to find something out about our futures. But they'll do something called stunting, or sometimes you'll hear it called blowing off an audience, blowing up a station, whatever. And killing a listener.
Killing a...
That was stunting. the new sound of KD&D, or whatever the hell that station is.
It's
not too soon. We were doing it last with the girls. When the girls gonna hear
you
me?
You were doing it yesterday when I was gone.
Yeah,
the girl's in a better place.
She's got all the wheeze she could possibly want now. She's weeing in the arms of God, Sarah.
You're a bad person.
It's a heavenly we that pleases her now.
I can hear that car reviewing.
Here's Tim Riley. Rebecca Webb's a fine person and a gifted newscaster.
Here's Tim Riley.
That's all you wanted to say.
Yes.
Anybody remember Manuel Noriega?
No.
Well,
yes.
He looked like Edward James Olmos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he hopes to immediately board a plane for Panama when he's released from prison on September 9th, and he plans to fight his conviction back home in the slayings of two political opponents, one he even beheaded way back when. Noriega, who is 70, had parole hearings in 2002 and 2004 to cut short his 30-year sentence. Apparently, he plans to waive any deportation hearings and try to board a plane to Panama the day he's released. He wants to go back home and enjoy his grandchildren in quiet retirement.
Okay, hold on. I got so many jokes here. They're just coming to me fast and furious. Wait, hold on a second. Olmos, Noriega. Do you want me to just do these in no particular order?
Sure.
Okay.
That's the way we're used to it.
Here's another Daily Show headline for you. If you work at the Daily Show, find a reason to do a story about the popular of Edward James Olmos just so you can use the headline, Almost Famous. Almost Famous.
Give me the card.
All right. Okay. Can I re-cue it first?
No.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you.
All right. There's some joke there about beheading Saddam. Saw Saddam beheaded. Saddam beheaded.
No, this is Noriega. Saddam, he's a different beheader.
Saddam beheaded to the grave. There's something there. I don't really know. Thank you. We'll come back to that. Come back to that one later. And finally, Noriega. Here's my thing about Noriega. I wasn't listening, so it's my own fault.
Oh.
Where is he now? I mean,
he is in prison.
Prison where, though? In another country or here in America?
Here.
Miami,
Florida.
He is in prison. Now, color me ignorant. I am a dumb American. He's in prison on what charge?
Well, not liking the Bushes.
Okay. What is this? How should I put this?
Basically,
not the real reason. What is the reason we, the people, have been given for Noriega? If you were,
I don't remember.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't remember what they are.
Wasn't he the...
According to this, he decapitated a dissident leader in 1985 who threatened to overthrow him. So I guess that is a serious charge, even in Panama.
That's our job. Only we are allowed to...
they could have left him in the jungle to die from malaria instead of bringing him back here. But we're a humane people.
So we bring them back here.
We
buggered repeatedly.
We spirit people out of their own countries and bring them back here to live in comfort.
Is he in prison or is he under house arrest?
No, he's in prison.
Really? He's like a real prison, though. Is he in a real prison?
Yeah, where you hang onto the bars and wait for your lunch to be served underneath. That kind of prison.
Where you hang onto the bars.
Yeah.
Where you hang... Yeah. Okay.
People are always hanging onto the bars in prison.
Well,
they do.
Like a monkey.
So he's... I don't even know. Well, we don't know exactly what he does every day.
I
imagine he's writing a book of some sort.
Guessing it does involve hanging on to bars. All I'm saying... Like the back of a Volkswagen. All I'm saying is... he was the ruler, the dictator someplace?
Yes.
Panama. He sold drugs, or am I confusing him with somebody else?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he sold cocaine, allegedly.
Okay, no, he did that. He did, of course he did that. I don't really care. No one else cares. All right, well, he's...
And then he beheaded somebody.
Okay. Well, you got a look.
I'm sorry, it was total decapitation.
I mean, good help is hard to find. He's in prison, and now, why is this in the news again?
He's getting out of prison.
To do what?
To enjoy his retirement.
To sell Mary Kay. All right.
Whatever there is to do in Panama.
There's a great city. No, but he's...
Climb a tree, pick bananas?
Oh, he's going back to Panama. He's not going to be living here.
No.
Oh, that's too bad. I was picturing some...
That was part of the story.
That was the whole... Well, I wasn't listening.
Oh, okay.
That was the whole work release program, joke I was getting to. Because that seems like an SNL bit in the making right here, where it's like, I'd like you to meet your new cubicle mate, Manuel. Manuel is going to be helping you with accounts receivable. And then you look over and there's Manuel with his, like, full-on military garb and, on a corn cob pipe.
Hello, I am here to help you.
No, he's not getting a cubicle.
All right.
All right, 503-733-2970. Sarah's giving me the we're overtime. I still haven't talked about Taylor Swift.
We're all the poorer for it.
Now, you don't, well, fine, if you don't want to know.
Well, she'll be here tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to know about Taylor Swift.
I already know that you were the creepy guy who was trying to get into the bathroom while she was in there.
I wasn't, you misrepresented. That is technically true, but it is, that the way that you tell it gives a
scar for life.
That gives a false impression. That gives a false impression of how that story unfolded. That is not an accurate impression. I will clarify that later. On the other side, and I'll give the other half of the story. All right.
I hope she tells that story someday on Larry King.
It's 503-733-2970 as they're passing Taylor's Law. All right. Back after this, 503-733-2970 to Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. We return momentarily. Program at 503-733-2970. In mere moments, Tim Riley rejoins us in the Ministry of Truth. Later on, top five cheap Chris songs that are not Surrender. In honor of Robin Zander's 54th birthday this week. What else? Scotty J in the Suburban Perspective. Don't forget, you can always send your questions for Scotty to rick@rickemerson.com. Because we found out that I'll continue to do it because I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm a glutton for punishment of Scotty, I guess. We will continue to take calls during the Suburban Perspective, but of course the irony is that Scotty isn't there to screen the calls. And so we get like yesterday when a guy just calls up and just wants to whisper sweet gay nothings into his ear, which has some entertainment value.
That was exciting for Scotty.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Breaking down those walls one brick at a time. Now, you know, if I'd really thought of it, I could have taken that joke in a much better direction. All right, well, anyway. 503-733-2970. So we got a question for Scotty J in the Suburban Perspective. You email that to rick@rickemerson.com. Later on, Jim Roop will be here. We'll talk to him about that Oscar thing. And then I'm going to ask him about that spanking story that everybody's all talking about. Apparently, it's all a buzz, and all the radio programs are discussing it.
But we're going to discuss spanking.
Look at me with my finger on the pultural cult.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Can I get a... That's fantastic. Cultural cults. That almost sounds crude. Anywho, so, no, it's because I've had that story sitting on my stack for a couple days. Haven't gotten to it. Today, who is Stephanie Miller was talking about it. And then the couple people were talking about it this morning. They have this segment on their program called The Rookie and the Redneck, in which Lee, who is, I presume, the redneck in the equation, and then... I think it's Jake, sort of a younger guy. I think that they take Hannity and Combs style opposing positions, and then they discuss, and then the audience weighs in, and then at the end they have rapprochement. Anyway, so everybody was talking about it today. So we're gonna
jump the spanking thing.
The spanking thing, and the best thing about it is I don't even have it in front of me anymore. But the headline for the spanking story was like, God, it was like no spank bill to pass.
No spank zones.
No. It was something that really, was something that made it sound much more titillating than it actually is. But it's this thing, this legislation that's been proposed in California that won't let you won't let you whack your child if it's under the age of three. So if your child is under the age of three, you won't be able to use your fists to discipline it. Sadly.
So are there police going door to door to catch people in the whacking mode?
I don't really know. I'm not really sure how that would work. But if your kid is under the age of 3 years old, apparently you might not be able to use like a club on it. So anyway, but so
you have sound on this?
I have it coming up.
Fantastic. So see, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, we can whisk ahead to it.
That's okay.
Now we'll get to it in our own sweet time. Here's Tim Riley.
I want to talk about Tony Blair.
Who doesn't?
Who during we're going back to A now. So please refresh. During Prime Minister's question time, said pulling out of Iraq is a very bad idea.
For us to set an arbitrary timetable, and that is what it is, it's arbitrary. It's not attached to the conditions in Iraq. It's simply saying that we will pull British troops out in October, come what may. That would send the most disastrous signal to the people that we are fighting in Iraq.
Can you listen to
but you know what? Most of them have already been pulled out.
No, but and they're getting into it there. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, for us to set an arbitrary timetable, and that is what it is. It's arbitrary. It's not attached to the conditions in Iraq. It's simply saying that we will pull British troops out in October, come what may. That would send the most disastrous signal to the people that we are fighting in Iraq.
Well, you're held accountable there.
Well, it doesn't happen here in America.
Yeah, well, I mean, they
opposing views are allowed. It's not like some
the Hitler. It's not like what, Jim? It's not like life under Mussolini?
Perhaps so.
Yeah, you weren't here for that yesterday. Sarah, you missed when Tim referred to my glorious leader, whom I respect and follow, as somewhat akin to Benito Mussolini, fascistic leader of Italy. And
well, I was thinking in terms of they both enjoy Italian food.
Of course.
And then, which then cascaded into several comments about, well, Tim, you don't want to get a visit from the men in the black coats. And Tim kept saying things like, they'll have to take down a lot of innocent people with me. I'm not going alone. It was really the best thing any news department has ever said anywhere.
Well, I'm just saying I'm the man of the people. I'm always among the public. I don't want innocent people hurt in my presence.
And they would be.
I don't travel around in some private car. Like
hundreds of them. I'm speculating. But that's the thing there. They have no confidence. Well, first of all, they have, what are those called? Elections. Where, like, you vote, and then they count them, and then the person with the most votes assumes the office.
The party.
Well, it's Tory, or it's the Labor Party.
This is a little bit different than ours.
It is. But they have the elections, and the people go, and they say, hey, look, I'm tired of being an unemployed pipe fitter. Let's change something. And then they also have no confidence votes there.
Right.
And
they also have judges who dress up in wigs, like the 1600s. They're all dressed in drag.
Are no confidence votes binding?
I believe so.
Yes, because then
put you out.
The no confidence, but I mean, are they...
They do the same thing in Canada.
Are they obliged to, like, if there's a no confidence vote, which I know they have these discussions every now and again, because Tony Blair was always, there was always that, will he skirt the no confidence vote this time? It looks like he's come through again, the consummate political survivor. And then he would come through, but I was never clear about whether, like, if you failed a no confidence vote, if it was like, you have 5 hours, security will guard you as you bring your things to the front of the box. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then they have this, whatever, the questioning day, which is once a month.
Wait, he's on C-SPAN.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic. It's the only...
You actually have to know something. And you're a leader there.
Because you're on the firing line, baby. And by firing line, I mean verbally speaking. Because you get up in front of there, and it's like they're allowed to ask you anything. They can heckle. They can boo.
And you have to give clear answers.
There's probably a guy up front who sells rotten cabbages to hurl at you. I mean, if we had that in this country, it would just be the most fantastic thing on earth. So, all right, well, there you go. Anyway,
Tony Blair said the Democrats are wrong about their stand.
It is a policy that
listen,
whatever it is.
He's not even two words into it, and they're already giving him the business, as Eddie Haskell used to say.
It is a policy that whatever its superficial attractions may be is actually deeply irresponsible, which is probably why the Liberal Democrats hold it.
Okay, now that's funny. See, that's a little wit right there.
Yes.
That's a little actually razor-sharp humor they have there in Britain. But you're right that he's up there is saying this, obviously, to placate George W. Bush and the Bush administration and to try to get Americans to say this. But you know, the British troops are already gone, man. Yep. I mean, it's like the last... It's like that.
They got a couple dozen there. But they silently took them out without telling anybody. That's the way to do it.
Seriously, it is in undercover. And that, where are you going? We've got...
Going to get some fish and chips. We'll be back in...
Exactly. I need some shepherd's pie and brown sauce. Goodbye. And, you know, but you're taking your tent and everything you want. Yes, I...
Where are my grannies coming for the weekend?
Look over there, you know, and they just ran over a hill and vanished.
Yeah, they've been gone for a while. Most of them.
There's nobody left. It's just us. I mean, we really, you know what we are?
We know what we are.
What is that, Tim?
Oh, a very courageous and patriotic country.
Exactly. All glory to the hypno-toad. What I was going to say is this.
Spreading democracy to those who are in dire need of it.
Democracy or death.
The white suburbs must be preserved at any cost.
You know what we are? We are sort of a drink this democracy for 2 hours and don't go to the bathroom kind of country. That really is what
no,
we
they
do.
Did that in Sacramento.
No, but I'm saying that's what America really is. You know what I mean? You're not drinking water. You're drinking democracy. You're not actually allowed to, you know, it's just like she couldn't, you're not actually allowed to vote for your own leaders or create your own government. You're not allowed to do anything with democracy. Just take it by force, even if it kills you. Anyway, so the thing about us is, here's what we are in Iraq, as a country. You know, there's that moment in every movie or in every sitcom, and you've seen this a billion, skillion, squillion times, where the guy is standing there, and it's a cliche, so forgive me, it's a hoary cliche, as they say, where the guy is standing there going, and if I see that guy one more time, I am going to beat his ass. He is, you know, he's fat, and he's stupid, and he's lazy.
Oh, kind of like a Toby Keith type of thing.
But, of course, what happens in the movie? He's saying this. And then it's like the guy standing behind him, right? And so that speech always ends the same way. And if Bob gets up in my face one more time, I'm going to knock out his teeth because he's just a spineless little weasel. Pause for comedy. Oh, he's standing behind me, isn't he? And then he turned around, there he is. That's what we are, except the joke is, there's no one standing behind us. And we're standing there going, these millions of troops, all of these allies, will rain down on you with the fury of 1,000 suns.
And the only thing left are tire tracks.
And, sir, and
on the way to the airport.
And it's just George Bush standing there, and in the background it's a lot of... And there's nothing. There's like a stray camel walking by. And that's it. And George Bush is standing up there like a chimp in a flight suit. That's it. There you go. I can explain everything through analogy to bad 80 movies cliches. Oh, God. All right.
Well, we're going to take a break from politics, but we promise to return to it in a few moments.
Zing.
But first, it doesn't look like there'll be arraignment for Michael Devlin in the Sean Hornbeck kidnapping case.
It doesn't look like there'll be arraignment.
An arraignment.
Oh, okay.
The co-counsel for Devlin said the arraignment at the Washington County Courthouse in Missouri could pose a safety issue for everyone in attendance.
Is this,
it's a soundbite.
I've been contacted by the Washington County Prosecutor, John Roop, and he brought up some valid concerns regarding the safety...
Roop, eh?
I've been contacted by the Washington County Prosecutor, John Roop, and he brought up some valid concerns regarding the safety situation and Mr. Devlin's appearance in that jurisdiction for an arraignment. Obviously, they have an older courthouse, older jailing facilities there, and they were concerned that they would just not be able to provide the level of security necessary to handle this type of event.
Just say it. He's going to be buggered and killed. Just say that. Say what you're thinking. He is, in fact, it is going to be death by snoo-snoo for him. That's what it is. Allegedly.
because he's innocent.
Yes. Well, Miss USA Tara Conner is back in New York City following a stint in rehab. The 21-year-old was given a second chance by Donald Trump after agreeing to get help after rumors and pictures of abuse of alcohol and drugs.
Rumors and photo behavior
wildly in nightclubs and trying to recruit underage girls into her godless lifestyle.
Hello.
The current Miss America, the brand new one, is Jennifer Berry. She says during her reign, she has not had time to misbehave.
This job is a full-time job. 24/7, and I live, you know, on the road out of two suitcases and work every single day. There are very few days that I have off. So for me, there wasn't really anything that had to keep me on the straight and narrow.
But she says the disgraced Miss USA will likely have time to repair her tarnished image.
It's hard for me to speak on behalf of her and the organization because we are so different, and I actually don't have the knowledge to really speak on what she'll be doing or anything like that. But yeah, I think that she, you know, has a couple months to, you know, be the best Miss USA she can be.
Whatever that means.
I have no idea what she's talking about. All right, let's see. Let's see. We have here about the no-confidence vote. It is akin to our impeachment. If you lose a no-confidence vote, the party you represent will remove you from power in the House of Commons, chooses a new prime minister. Blah, blah, blah. And then there's something about the House of Naboo. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, this just in, Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington has entered a rehab treatment.
In an effort
to quell the controversy surrounding his anti-gay remarks and save his job.
You are kidding me.
This after undergoing talks with ABC executives. The married 43-year-old homophobe was spotted entering the facility about 9 this morning.
Are you?
No. This is from Life and Style magazine, which is on sale for $1.99.
At what point did the news...
The lead story, Jen gets more plastic surgery.
At what point did real-world events just become a parody of themselves?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No. He's in rehab.
I mean, I know you're not kidding me.
Is there anti-gay rehab now? Is that part of the Betty Ford? Is that the annex?
Only in Utah. Which doesn't work, by the way. I'd like to... Well, never mind.
All right. Seriously,
take a breather.
It's just that the news, it's like the snake eating its tail thing, where the news has just become a parody of the news.
Well, it's unpredictable and everyone can see through it.
That's what I thought it was a joke.
This isn't going to do anything for him.
That's totally like, I thought it was a joke when you were saying.
No, this is not a joke.
Well, because this guy's...
Sometimes I tell jokes, but not this time.
Let me insert the obligatory Gay's Anatomy joke right here.
Okay.
No,
but you know that he's going to end up getting fired anyway, because that's the only way everyone's going to be happy.
I hope he ends up picking up stray bottles. Seriously, F that guy. That guy makes me so angry.
Let's change the subject. You're going to get all freaky.
I'm not getting freaky about it. The guy, it's like the going into rehab thing. You know, just like man up. You know what I mean? Man up and just say, like, look, I said some crap and I was an a-hole and what are you going to do? I'll try to be a better person and, you know, and I said something stupid and offensive and I'll keep my trap shut.
Well, the first class of the day is spin class.
If you don't know, if you've been locked in a small cage somewhere and you didn't hear the story, so he is a guy from Grey's Anatomy, which is a show that I only watched like the first season of, and then I kind of faded away from it. A little too cutesy for my, a little too Ally McBeal for my taste. But not a bad show, but a little too David E. Kelly for my taste. I don't even want to talk about it. Everybody knows the story. Everybody heard the story. But did you see him at the Golden Globes?
Yes.
When he got on microphone and on camera, denied calling the guy that. Denied calling his coworker that. Like, we 800 people saw him do. And then the most uncomfortable part of that entire press conference, from my perspective, is, so there's, what is it, Isaiah Washington, is that his name?
Yes.
He gets up there and he says, you know, he said, I did not call PR, da 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 da, and he uses the word.
Was a lie.
Yeah, which is a lie, right. Because
and plus he used the word again.
And then he used the word.
Like, he thought it was funny.
He used the word again because, you know,
because it's hilarious.
I know people who use that in jest. That word just really bothers me.
Well, and it's, you know.
I know it's not meant to be harsh, but in his case, it seems like it was. But I know people who just use it. It just seems really inappropriate.
Well, and we're not in third grade anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's time to find a different word to describe things that maybe perplex you a little bit. So,
Anyway, so he first uses this, he first calls the guy this on the set. Keep in mind, this is on a film set where, like, cameras are rolling constantly, right, and there's, like, 800 people around to witness it. So saying that you didn't call the guy that, you know, and I guess it was known, I guess this, what's his name? T.R., is it T.R. Knight? Is that his name?
Yes.
I mean, everybody on the set kind of knew, you know, he was gay and whatever, but he went publicly out. And so Washington calls him this on the set. In front of like 800 people, all of whom see it, all of whom witnesses it. Then at the Golden Globes, he gets on stage in front of the camera and says, no, 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 and I did not call him that word, and repeats the word again, like three times, which is a lie. And then so I'm sitting there watching this, and the worst part of it is I'm sitting there watching Sandra Oh, like, having to physically restrain T.R. Knight from, like, because who's just turned, like, beat red. And Patrick Dempsey just looked like he was about ready to deck that guy, and I just wish he would have. I swear to God, Patrick Dempsey, not that I'm encouraging this, but I know that you and Isaiah Washington have come to fisticuffs on the set before. I'm not encouraging violence as a solution to these sort of things. I'm just saying that should you ever find yourself in a situation where you've been put in jail for perhaps beating him repeatedly in the face, Rick Emerson will try to help bail you out. Rick Emerson will try to make sure that your stay there isn't too long. In rehab.
Yeah.
Oh, F that guy.
So, seriously.
This C.R. Knight has been a gentleman throughout this. At least he can call him, you know, some filthy breeders.
Yeah.
All right. It's just the whole
which
thing.
He could have.
Yeah,
and deservedly so.
Wrangles me. All right, I'm done. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to move on.
Well, I think we should talk about politics, don't you?
let's go to B.
Let's talk about something that's uniting.
All right.
Here's somebody else who will make you extremely happy.
Ready? When you say me, do you mean me?
Yes, you. It's all about you.
Thank you.
The Rick Emerson
Show.
Well,
totally. It goes without saying.
It's all about you.
Taking 5 years.
These are specially chosen for me.
Or Pacific Phillips.
These are all for you.
Thank you.
So here we go. This will interest you immensely. Ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay, we have two sound bites here.
Is this back to me?
Yes, it is.
All right. I'm ready for this, yes.
Well, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Middle Eastern Affairs.
This is exciting.
Liz Cheney.
Oh.
Says the vote is a message to the president.
What you saw today in the Senate, unfortunately, is an attempt to say that they do not support this plan that the president's put forward without putting forward a plan themselves to explain how we will secure Baghdad, how we will secure Iraq.
And this will get you even more excited. Liz Cheney says the results of the midterm elections are being misread.
People really have been, in my opinion, misreading some of the polls. If you look at the election results in November, I think there's no question that the American people are very concerned about the situation in Iraq. But they didn't say they want us to lose the war. They didn't say they want us to leave before the job is done.
Yeah, that's exactly how everybody's reading it. Where's the box for humiliating defeat? Can I please? No? All right, well, whatever. You know, it's like how when people say anybody but Bush. There is no anybody but Bush category, but of course that's what people were saying. Sometimes one must learn to understand what the people are asking for. And when John Kerry, and because people will say that Kerry was beaten badly, and that's certainly not true. Kerry actually came within 300,000 votes of winning.
He did much better than anybody thought.
He did, no, and I got to say
and
that.
And nobody who voted it really wanted him.
No, that's the thing about John Kerry, the thing about John Kerry is that before he just gets dipped in amber and bronze and stuck in a museum somewhere,
it's like buying day old bread. You like the bakery products from today, but it's too enticing to save 25 cents and buy day old bread with a sticker on it.
Do you have a ho ho's from yesterday? I don't. Do you have any blimpses that are on sale? The thing about John Kerry is boring and at this point unelectable. But let's not revise the history. We should acknowledge he came very close to beating Bush. He came within 300,000 votes of beating George Bush, which is, you know, he still should have. And it is, in my opinion, largely inexcusable and stupid that he lost, but he did come that close to beating George W. Bush. So let's not just say that he got beaten very badly. It was a bad defeat, which is like a bad loss, like a bad beat in poker. Not the same thing as being beaten badly. He was beaten narrowly.
What the hell was my
It wasn't as much fun as the Al Gore election.
No, it really, and he, no, man, and don't even get me started on the Al Gore election. And the thing about this is, you're right.
So now John Kerry's going to have to get himself a slideshow.
And that no one even liked John Kerry. I have to find something to save. That no one even liked John Kerry, and he almost won. And the only reason John Kerry came within 300,000 votes is because there was no box that just said, someone else! And it just said to anyone, him, or Scotty.
I can handle this bad taste in my mouth. It was just this election, but not again.
No, that's it. It's just like, what about it? What have you got? Well, we got the... Well, you know what it is? It's like when you're really... It's like late at night, you're really drunk, or... You know what? Okay, here's the thing.
Let's just speak frankly now, as adults. You know what John Kerry was?
What?
John Kerry was the girl at the end of the bar at 2 a.m. Not especially interesting or attractive, but ready and available.
She seemed nurturing.
She, no. No, not at all. She's good enough for now. And that is all there is to say. That's what John Kerry is.
She's the port in the storm.
John Kerry was sort of a political booty call. He was just sort of a, no, well, okay. I mean, I guess for this one time. I mean, look, let's not make a habit of this. You give her a different name. You don't tell her your name is Scotty. You tell her your name is,
Hortense.
Hortense. Okay, I got nothing. Bam! And we're done with that. All right, 503. Do we have to break? We don't have more sound. But we'll do the sound when we come back.
But we're going to think about spanking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, you're going nowhere.
We don't
nowhere.
Have CNN at one.
Oh.
Balls him all the time.
Yeah. There's no
sound. And even if we do, doesn't matter. I can do what we can.
I don't know if I'm ready
here.
For this.
Oh, no. Well, you better get ready, my friend.
You better be ready.
That deal can only mean one thing.
I don't know what that one thing is. Okay. 503-7, that's what it means. 503-733-2978 for Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.